It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. So is Office 365 for Business. There's a lot of SKUs on this one. We'll try to figure it all out. And Wither the Nook, more importantly, Wither Microsoft's investment in Barnes & Noble. It's all ahead next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 301, recorded February 28th, 2013. Designed in the dark. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by RingCentral. I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup cost, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial, and when you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to 20 phones total. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers everything you need to know about everything Microsoft's up to. Not just Windows, too. Xbox, Hadoop, all of that stuff.
Other stuff they make.
Other things they make. Is Hadoop a Windows? No, it's Hadoop.
No.
It's Hadoop data. Big data.
I can't see the word Hadoop without thinking of Mary Jo.
I know. She is the queen of Hadoop.
Like today on Google News, the Hadoop was listed under technology for some reason. I didn't look at it, but I thought about it.
It is technology.
No, I know, but it's like one of the trending items under technology. It's like the weirdest selection of stuff. It's like iPhone 5, Google,
Hadoop,
Morgan Stanley, and Hadoop.
Mary Jo Foley writes about Hadoop and all other things at allaboutmicrosoft.com, that's a ZDNet blog. It's great to have you, MJ. And there's Paul Thurrott drinking a mint julep. He is the man.
Unlikely.
He's in charge of the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. And before the show, if you were watching live, you saw Paul demonstrating why he's the king. I got to get Windows 8 Secrets. That's what I have to do. Because all of that would be in there. I'm going to order that right now.
I can send
you
a copy.
No, I'm going to buy it. God knows you need the money.
Someone should.
How's that selling? Is it selling well?
Yeah, actually, it is selling pretty
good.
Well, you know, within the context of the fact that I'm not Stephen King, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not a million copies, I understand, but there's no, this manuals every year, every edition of Windows are smaller and smaller and smaller. I did not see a manual at all with this Windows 8 machine. Was there one? Maybe. You're supposed to know.
I don't know.
Is there?
I would say that this is the first version of Windows in a long time where you kind of need a book.
And you, you do,
know?
And
I don't
such
say
a
that
change.
As, I know I wrote a book.
No,
I get
no,
it, but
that's exactly what
so
I was going to say.
You know?
Yeah. It's so different, and there's just little things that you go, well, I knew how to do this on Windows 7, and then there's some things that it doesn't do. We were just talking about, I'm talking about the Acer S7, which is the new Windows 8 laptop I just bought, and it's a very nice 1920 by 1080 screen.
Some combination of numbers.
By the way, when I go to the control panel for the screen, and I guess I'm going to just have to live with this for the rest of my life. Windows 8 says, your resolution is too small.
What?
Let me see if I can find that. Well, because it's not 12. I don't know. It's very odd. It's in the video control panel. But anyway, there's just little things. Like, I want to make the DPI a little bigger. And you used to be able to set the DPI on Windows.
You can still do that.
Oh, you can.
On the desktop, yep.
Oh, in the desktop, just, oh, okay.
See,
this
yeah,
little,
no, I'm
this
sorry,
is
right.
Why you
not
get the
in,
book.
Not in Metro, yep.
But no, but the desktop would be fine. So this is stuff that I need anyway. Wonderful, 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 wonderful books. I'm going to buy it right now with the Amazon widget on my Metro modern UI desktop. But we have other things to talk about. Let me fire up OneNote. Office 365 for Business. It's business time. Launch. That's their
That's the jingle.
See, I was nervous you were going to be bored by this topic, but look at you. Like, you're so excited you're singing about it.
It's a theme song.
It's not enough that I bought a Windows 8 machine. I bought the Office, the previous, you know, the $100 a year subscription Office. That's not the business one, though. What's new into business? Small business premium, mid-sized business, and Pro Plus.
Go ahead, Mary Jo.
Mary Jo better explain.
I know, where to dig in on this?
Tell us about the SKUs.
Okay, there's so many SKUs. This is the thing. You know, a lot of people thought maybe Microsoft would go simpler with SKUs when they did the new Office 365. Not really. There's still a lot of SKUs. And there's even three new ones that you just mentioned, the Small Business Premium, Midsize, and Office Pro Plus. So all of these things are under a subscription model, so you pay X number of dollars per user per month or per year, and you get the right to use Exchange Online, Link Online, and SharePoint Online on the server side. And some of the plans also allow you to have desktop versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Access Publisher, and Link download onto your PC. There's just so many of these. I'm not exactly sure where even to dig in. I think the most interesting one probably to me was the Pro Plus SKU, which is basically, I think I described it as the equivalent of Office 365 Home Premium, except it's for you as a business user. So if you want to download all these apps to your PCs and install them on any combination of up to five PCs and Macs, you'd probably want the Pro Plus SKU, unless you're adding it in with something else, giving you Exchange, Link, and SharePoint. Then you might want a different SKU.
So Link's not free?
No. Well, there's Link Server and Link Client. And obviously you need the client to use the server.
Because the reason I ask is we're thinking about moving a Link. I guess there is some sort of, in the summer, the Link and Skype will serve.
Well, yeah, don't confuse. So there's the Link Client and then the Link Server.
So would we have to run a Link Server for you to
No, you can use the Link. You will be able to use the Link Client against
just like Skype to Skype, Link to Link.
But
if you're
but
doing
they'll have
it,
to be linked somewhere in the equation, right?
Does Microsoft run a server as they used to, like with Messenger and things like that? Or,
well, they have Link. When you talk about Office 365, you're talking about Microsoft hosting these servers in their cloud, basically.
Right.
So there's Exchange Server hosted in the Microsoft data center. That's what's called Link Online. I mean, Exchange Online. Then there's a Link Online and a SharePoint Online.
By the way, now that you've fixed your video, I can see that you have a pile of laptops over your left shoulder.
Yeah, only one there. That's my old laptop.
I just realized Mary Jo is not 16-bit today.
Look how good Mary Jo looks. This is. I am so excited. What did you do? You changed your cable.
No, I got a nice gift from Twit and Uncle Leo. I got an Optiplex Dell Optiplex 23-inch screen. That is my new PC here.
How about that? It fixed it.
It fixed it. Yeah. And I have the dedicated new cable system. I'm only running cable to this Optiplex. Nothing else is on that cable.
It's beautiful. So. That's it.
It worked.
It worked. You know, we've been slowly going through the hosts one by one doing this. I don't know why, but I just got a bug.
Next week, I'm going to switch to the Amiga. So,
you've always looked pretty good, Paul. You've always looked pretty good. But a number of hosts we've found if we do some upgrades. So the Link server runs SIP, I'm told in the chat room. So you would use it then as a VoIP solution as well, a voice for a phone telephony?
That's
interesting.
What Link is, a lot of people don't really know what Link is. Link is Microsoft messaging. Because the name doesn't really tell you what it is, right? LYNC, what is that? It's corporate instant messaging. It's video conferencing, audio conferencing, and VoIP. It's all one thing in a unified messaging server and client.
Okay.
That's what it is. That's what Link is.
Yeah, the way to think about it, too, is that, you know, obviously Skype has had this peer-to-peer style of networking that they've had for a long time. And when they combine Skype and Messenger on the back end and then Skype and Link, you know, you're going to be able to use different clients to do different things. Right. And so the back ends of these things may be different parts of what will eventually be the same infrastructure, but there'll be some peer-to-peer, there'll be some client-server bits. But to the user, it shouldn't really matter. You know, the idea is that you log in with Link or you log in with Skype, or, you know, until 2 months from now, you can log in with Messenger, and you should be able to communicate between all these different networks. You don't really have to worry about what's on the back end.
Cool. So, yeah. So the reason I'm very all of a sudden interested is we're thinking about using Link.
I know. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I do too.
Sounds like we could. And your experience with Link is the video and the audio is as good as or better than Skype?
Well, it's not going to matter, because by the time it happens, it will just be Skype.
Yeah. So the best, they'll use the best of class codecs, whatever those happen to be. Skype is a proprietary codec that does very well.
Yeah, I mean, Link just switched to H.264 for video. They do HD video conferencing. But if we're going to use Link, unless you intend to just drop Skype altogether and not use, it's going to be the same back end. So.
Okay. Well, we'll look at it. I mean, I'm always looking to make just incremental.
Massive changes for no good reason.
No, incremental improvements to the quality. We want the quality,
Yeah.
We're trying to look better and better all the time.
Sure.
Because I just don't want to stand still.
That's good.
Well, that's good. So, get back to Office 365 for business.
Okay. So, this week was the launch of this. A lot of people are saying, so what does that mean? It launched, because when you have a cloud service, it's not like when a packaged product launches, right? It's like, it's not in stores. That's not what launch means here. So what it does mean is, if you're a brand new customer, you've never had Office 365 for business before, you can buy it as of this week. If you're an existing customer who already is running Office 365, this is the start, really, of when Microsoft's going to send you, sometime between now and November, you don't really know when, they're going to send you a notice saying, hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to upgrade you to the newest, latest bits of Exchange, SharePoint, and Link. So, not everyone loves this, because they're thinking, I'm already a customer. I should be able to get this faster than, like, sometime in the next 6-8 months, right? But you don't really have a say, as far as I know, on when you will be told you are going to be upgraded. And then the three SKUs we already mentioned, the Pro Plus, the Midsize Business, and the Small Business Premium, those are all brand new SKUs. So you can order those and get those as of this week as well. So that's what launch meant this week for Office 365.
And so who should get what? I guess, is it expected that
No, it's not expected, And Microsoft has a site that's their compare site, and it says
they do a good job.
You need this, if you need this, here you could pay $4 a month per user for this, or if you need this functionality, you might need to pay $15 per user. I think Paul actually looked at the Small Business Premium in particular and looked at who might want that, right?
Yeah, I think the products are now named that they sort of hint at the market, right? So there's a small business version, there's a small business premium version, there's one called mid-sized business enterprise, So those they give you an idea who they're targeting. I think the two big comparisons are going to be small business and small business premium. The big difference being there that the more expensive one includes Office, right? 5 installs per user. And then the other one is actually home premium versus small business premium, because I think there are some IT pro / tech enthusiasts who might want to pay the extra, I think it amounts to about $45 a year, to get the small business premium as opposed to home business premium in order to have that enterprise class Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, Link Online on the back end, rather than rely on SkyDrive and Outlook.com.
That's Microsoft hosted. I might want. I might be that exactly that person.
Yeah. So it's
that's a good deal. $4 more a month, and you get the hosted SharePoint.
Is that what it is for? I can't.
$48. Yeah. No.
Can't do the simplest of math. 12 off the top of my head,
before is yeah. That's not bad.
I believe it's $99 a year versus $145.
I'm paying $100 a year, and so if you said it's $45 more, $4 more a month. That's not bad.
Right.
That's attractive.
Obviously, it adds up. And small businesses, technically speaking, aren't, supposed to be using the home premium version, period. But even I think there's as I did before for Office 365 small business, I think there is a market for individuals who are, like I said, IT pros and or tech enthusiasts who, you know, want to have that, gain that experience with SharePoint and Exchange and so forth.
Yeah. This is good. I think I might do this.
The thing I was the most confused about, by the way, is that Pro Plus SKU.
Yeah.
And I still, I
had
them explain
it. It used to be, it was just like, oh, you get additional programs, you get access, and you get, you know. Well, but now it's much more complicated.
The way they were describing it to me, I kept saying, like, yeah, I know that, but I don't understand why you would have this thing. You know, it's, it's the prime differentiator, I guess, is that it's a pure subscription version of just Office, like just Office 2013. Right. And obviously, Office 2013 has certain differentiators over the previous version in that it's delivered over the internet. It installs in minutes using click to run. You can use Office on demand to run these things from other computers. Okay. But I know, I don't quite understand why, like, who buys this thing? This can get very complicated if you think about a very large organization where they have different parts of the business with different needs. And there could be a very large enterprise that has X number of customers on Enterprise E1 or whatever it's called, and some of them are on this other thing, and then some of them get this, and some of them are on just the, you know, the web interface versions, or they only have some Exchange web interface maybe. It gets kind of convoluted. And if you were to look at something, say, like the difference in price between Office 365 Small Business, which doesn't have Office, plus paying for Office Pro Plus, Office 365 Pro Plus, versus just getting Office 365 Small Business Premium, which is those two things combined. Obviously, Office 365 Small Business Premium represents a savings, a pretty considerable one, I think, over doing them separately. But I still don't understand why they're available separately. But
what's the upgrade situation? So now that I could get this new business version, yeah, and I have Home Premium, can I just say, hey, I'd like to pay $45 more and get the new one?
No.
I know.
No, because they're different.
Too bad. You can't.
I wonder if that's something that will come, you know?
I wonder that too.
This is the first time.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a guy in the chat room says, I'm a student, Pranav, and I got it for $80 for 4 years at university pricing. What happens then?
Yep.
You have to just cancel and buy a new one.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, because a lot of people who are getting Surface Pros, right, doesn't that come with a trial for Office 365 Home Premium? Mm-hmm. Yep. So then say you like it and you buy it, but then say you want to use this in a work setting. You're not typically, you're not legally supposed to, right? But you wanted to switch off to something
else.
So
I need to, because I didn't realize that. I'm now using it at work.
But I think, it's a subscription. So it's a little different. I think, you know, and then in that case, you're just kind of blowing away the Office that's on there and putting the new Office on the new subscription, right? Okay. If you were to actually go into a store and buy some version of Office, you could type in the product key into the version that's on the Surface and get whatever that thing is. Like the bits are already on there, and that actually works. But because you don't get a product key from the subscription, you can't really...
So what I should do is...
I've never tried this. I don't know. Maybe I should try this.
All right, I'm going to do it right now because I'm going to cancel my subscription to Office Home 365 Home Premium.
Yeah.
I have it on this machine right in front of me.
Are you paying per month?
No, I paid for a year.
A year.
Oh, no, I'm screwed.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No.
It won't renew to January 2014, so I have to wait?
Well, I guess what I... You know, it doesn't really matter where the Office came from. If you... get it as a right.
You're still using
subscription.
The same Office, right?
You can still just connect to it. I mean, one of the features of Office is that you can connect to whatever account. So you can connect to a Microsoft account.
Right, this is attached to my Outlook.com account. So if I just change...
But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be.
Oh.
You can, in fact, mix and match. You could put an Office 365 business version account into it and have both SkyDrive and SharePoint in Word or whatever, have both email accounts in Outlook, have, you know, you can mix and match. In fact, you can have as many of each as you want. You could have 3 SkyDrive accounts. You could have 2 SharePoint accounts, whatever.
So I now understand. Microsoft made Word as complicated as it could, and now there's nowhere else to go. So now what they're going to do is make the SKUs and pricing as complicated as possible. Is that the plan?
It's actually more complicated than that, Leo.
Yeah, it really is.
But I exactly. think you are you're hitting on the germ of it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, you know what really it is that this is the typical, this is what, for people who did business licensing, you know, seat licenses, mm-hmm. they're used to this.
Sure.
But for normal people like me, I never really had to deal with this. I would just buy a box, take it home.
I would say this, and I believe this is fully within Microsoft's licensing guidelines. If you as an individual have installed Office 365 Home Premium on your laptop.
I have.
And then you go to work and they say, hey, we've got this Office 365 whatever version, and you have rights to Office Pro Plus, which, by the way, is the exact same version of Office that's on your computer.
Right.
You could either just add that account to it, or right. you could replace the one on there. And
that makes sense.
Because you are licensed for that, nothing additional has to happen. You're already – you're licensed for it. It's fine. They're paying for it.
Right.
Right? You don't have to uninstall or do anything. It's going to just work. So it's not that bad.
No. Perfect sense.
Well, I mean, I've done this. I have.
No, but I'm in a different situation because I am work. And work
yes.
is me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have an IT guy telling me, okay, now here's your license key.
Mm-hmm. No, but you get me. I am telling you that.
Oh, good.
I have literally done what I just described. It's fine. And I am like you. I'm also, well, I almost called you a pseudo-business. I am a pseudo-business. You are a business. I operate like a business, except one that doesn't make any money. And, you know, but I get to, you know, use the software in that combination. It works. It does work.
So I'm on my office, and I just, yeah. So you're saying don't cancel your current subscription.
Well, you already paid for it. Why bother?
Right.
Plus, the software is identical. You know.
No, but I'd even like to get the SharePoint and the right. Exchange. How do I do that?
So if you said you that's what I want to do. Right?
Can I add
you
that?
You can absolutely do that. You can absolutely do yeah. that.
That's what I want to do.
Yep. Yep. Of course you can.
Oh. Maybe yep. I should go to frequently asked questions. Dear Microsoft. No,
all you have to do is sign up for an Office 365 subscription.
I got that, yes.
And then you can go into Word, into any of these apps, I guess. And you could. There's two ways to do it.
Oh, you can do it from Word.
Do it from yeah.
Oh,
so
cool.
There's an account like when you, the first time you run this thing,
you log in. No, and I've done that.
Log in.
Yeah,
and there are two choices. There's a Microsoft account, and
right.
then it's basically like an institutional.
So I could
account,
switch account.
Yep.
But okay, but what? But I, so what? I didn't want to switch accounts. I just want to keep it on the existing account. Can I not do that?
Yeah, you can do both. You can do either one.
Okay.
You just add. You can. You don't have to sign into the account.
Well, I'm already.
In other words, so what is it you like? Think about.
I want to add. I want the features of the business version, the $149 a year version.
But from the client perspective, what you're doing then is you're accessing SharePoint from Word,
right?
You're accessing Exchange from Outlook,
right?
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All you're doing is adding that account.
Yeah.
You don't have to change. You don't have to rejigger.
So create a SharePoint and Outlook and Exchange account.
Well,
I don't have one.
You would.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hijack the show with my petty problems.
No. My guess about what you would do is then you'd go buy an Office 365 Enterprise One or E1 or something, which just gives you SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, and LinkedIn.
So they have like this another SKU that's just like the little thing I didn't get.
Yeah, just the back end.
Actually, so
that's what I should do. Yeah,
that one I'm not sure about because that gets into the licensing weirdness where is that version of Office that you have licensed for that use?
Oh, right.
Maybe not.
Yeah. This wouldn't be a problem if I'd had the full menu.
I was talking about small business premium. So
yeah.
Small business premium, the version of Office
that's
you get
the one
is
I want.
Essentially identical.
Yeah.
You don't have to reinstall it. You just add that account.
Okay.
But then isn't he paying twice for the desktop?
Yeah. Yep, yes.
It wouldn't have been a problem if they released it all at the same time, but I bought the first thing that was available, and now
you're
I want
the only one.
The upgrade, and there's no path. If there's no path for me, that doesn't. I don't like
so,
that.
No one has ever bought Office 365 and not wanted to pay for it. But I suspect if you did, if you went back and said, "I'd like to,"
I should just
get
call
rid
them.
Of this.
I'll call them.
They could. They'd probably
just call them.
Credit you the remaining time on your subscription. Yeah, I would bet.
Just call them. They're nice people. Just call a service guy. You know, it's so funny. I am, and it's probably just me, but I don't like to call people. I like to do everything online.
Me too.
I'm afraid of, you know, the voice tree hell, you know, and all of that. Mm-hmm. I just,
sure.
It's like, if I could do it online, I will do it. And if I can't, then it's like, well, okay, I'll call him one of these days. One of these days. So I'd cancel it and rebuy. DS Hell in the chat room says he's done this. You rebuy and you cancel the one you have.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Okay. And they give you a refund.
And you get a refund. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
makes
sense.
Seems reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one other guy who knows a little about this thing. Just have him add P1, plan one for $6 a month.
Okay.
That's another way.
Okay. Or I could just stick with what I've got.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to do. But now we know. We understand. We hear about all the different versions and we understand. And we are glad. And the people were glad. And when we buy it here in the office, actually, that's what we're going to do. We'll just buy it here in the office, and then I'll tag onto that.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll buy 20 seats or whatever. And then that would be nice. Our show, I really apologize. See, this is why you didn't really want me using Windows 8, because then I was just going, yeah, whatever, yeah, fine. But now...
Now you care.
Now I care.
You actually have to use the damn thing.
Now I got
to
use it. So I'm interrupting all the time.
Was this thing designed in the dark? What am I looking at?
Let's take a break and talk about Audible. This is something I can wrap my head around. By the way, Audible's updated the apps on iOS to look more like the Metro app. It's very interesting. Mm. And the more I use this Metro, I think they're slowly getting it really pretty nice here. So there's a Windows 8 app, there's an iOS app, there's a Windows Phone app, there's a Android app. If you don't know about Audible, you ought to know about Audible. It's just the greatest place for audiobooks, over 100,000 audiobooks. And I'm going to tell you how you can get one free in just a moment. Look, we're improving Audible, it says, right on the front page. I was just saying that. You're improving Audible. They're getting better and better. So here's the deal. Guided by your feedback, we're improving the member experience, introducing new navigation. See, they've been completely changing all the apps. This is really interesting. I like it. New web design. And, of course, asking your feedback. Audible.com, AUDIBLE.com. So many great choices, but Paul's got a good one. I can't wait to read this, called Whitey.
I don't know if this resonates with anyone outside of Boston or, you know, this area. But
I never heard of him. But
you've never heard of him?
No.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So for us here in the Massachusetts area, this is like the big stuff. You know, our version of the New York gangsters, and it was pretty serious. My dad was a cop in the 70s. He was part of something called the Tactical Patrol Force.
I didn't know that.
Gang violence.
Your dad was a
racial stuff.
Tax squad cop? I had no idea.
Yeah, so this, you know, it's like the Winter Hill Gang, and, you know, there's been some pretty famous books written about the stuff in the past, like Black Mass and so forth, but Whitey Bulger was number two on the list of America's Most Wanted.
Yeah,
and
Whitey Bulger, I know that name, yeah.
Yeah, so he was captured about a year and a half ago, I think, and it will soon stand trial if he lives long enough.
He was just captured?
No, like a year and a half ago.
What?
But he was on the lam for like 20 years or whatever. So this book is a new book written by two people who used to write for the Boston, or one writer and one editor from the Boston Globe, and promises to be the most comprehensive, because obviously it's up to date and has information from his time on the run. But, you know, again, from a sort of a local perspective, there were various Whitey sightings over the years. You know, he was supposedly in London at one point, in Italy at another point. And this is, you know, this is like our kind of private drama that we have. So
they found him in Santa Monica. He'd been living there for 15 years.
Yep.
What? This is it. What a story. I can't wait to read this.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
The life of America's most notorious mob boss, who they just caught a couple of years ago after... Yep. He was in Alcatraz. I mean, this guy...
Yeah, I know. When you look at this guy as a young guy, he looks like an Alcatraz era villain. You know, he's got that really hardened look to him. Now he just looks like grandpa.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
but
ancient, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Departed is based on this guy. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay, so now I'm starting to put this. I do know who this is. I can't wait to read this. So here's the deal. You can get this for free. If you go to audible.com/windows, you see I have two credits available. I love having credits. That means I could just go, yeah, I'll pop that in my shopping cart and take it home for free. if you subscribe. Now, so what you're going to do at audible.com/windows is get a subscription like I have. It's a book a month, but your first month's free. Your first book is free. You cancel any time in that first month, pay nothing, and keep the book forever. So it's really a great deal. I don't think you're going to cancel because once you get hooked on Audible, as Paul and I know, you can never go back. It really is the best way to listen to great literature, fiction, nonfiction, history like this. Paul and I love the, what was that one about Chicago, the Chicago World's Fair? We love these old history books.
White City.
Oh, just amazing. Such great stuff. Audible.com/windows. Give it a try today. And we thank them so much for their support of Windows.
That was not quite right. White City, what was that?
Something like inside the...
Something in the White City. Yeah. White City in the Devil.
It's the Devil. It was the Devil
in the White City.
In the White City. Yep. That's it.
Yep.
It was a story of both the Chicago Exposition and this mass murderer who was using it as cover.
Two great tastes to go together.
It was an incredible story.
Yeah.
Item two, Barnes & Noble. Now, I just got the new Nook. I'm reviewing it. It's a review for Before You Buy, and it's beautiful. It's the Nook HD. It's kind of their response to the Kindle, Kindle Fire HD. But I got to say, you know, their business is imploding, right?
Yeah. Their Nook businesses, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's because of Amazon. The Kindle is just eating them alive. Yeah. How much did Microsoft put into B&N?
$300 million. Dollars. They created the new company together that was supposed to take over the digital media part of the business.
Right.
That was last year. Yeah. And then we all were excited. We were all thinking maybe there'd be a Windows-based Nook.
Oh.
Remember we were calling it the Wook?
The Wook.
That's right.
Remember that?
Remember the Wook? We all had those crazy ideas.
We were rooked.
We were rooked. There is no Wook. Yeah. No Wook. And
there may
now,
not be a Nook.
Right. There may not be a Nook going forward. It's like, wow, now. So what did Microsoft get for the $300 million? And are they happy with where things are going? Probably not. But I wonder still, you know, because when I remember looking back at the contract when they first signed this contract with Barnes & Noble, and it talked a lot about the licensing of content. And that's what Barnes & Noble is saying they're going to be prioritizing going forward. So more like content partnerships, content deals, and licensing that content to other partners. So maybe we were barking up the wrong tree all along with the Wook, and maybe they just got the deal with Microsoft so that Microsoft could license the content.
Maybe last quarter was just worse than they thought it was going to be, you know?
It was.
It seems like if the Nook was going to do well, Christmas time would have been it, you know?
25%, according to Larry Dignan, writing for ZDNet, 25% in the Nook sales drop from a year ago.
Yeah.
25%.
It's not what you're looking for.
No.
The holiday selling season.
Neither are people buying the Nook, nor is it generating traffic to the stores.
Yeah. Barnes & Nobles are a little harder to find than they used to be. And, of course, as a book lover, I've always wanted there to be a bookstore here in Dedham, and a good one. We had one years ago that was terrible, but Barnes & Noble came in here as kind of a cornerstone of our new mall a couple of years back, and they're not doing great either. So now that thing is like a Halloween store sometimes or whatever. Yeah. But I feel bad about it. But we were in a Barnes & Noble fairly recently, and it's aside from being a ghost town, it's basically a front end to Nook sales. I mean, it was a very strange experience. I felt really bad about it because I've spent so many years just loving bookstores and spending lots of time in bookstores. But I did read a story, I think, in the New York Times this week that was saying that the guy who had bought Barnes & Noble back in the early 1970s, I think from the founders, is now interested in buying the company back. And he just wants the bookstores. And, you know, obviously they want to sell off the Nook business. And apparently the book part of it is okay. They have 600 and whatever stores.
That's so hard to believe.
It is.
I know, but he seems to want to make a run with it. And God bless
him.
That
digital thing, I don't think it's going anywhere, but I'll take the brick and mortar.
It's all about paper, Leo.
Wow.
Remember, a couple weeks ago, I think this was, there were people speculating Microsoft was going to take over some of the Barnes & Noble retail stores and turn them into Microsoft stores. And I was like, you know what? That's actually not a bad idea, right? But
I like
no,
it.
I guess
that would be great.
Not happening, right? That would give them stores in a lot of places.
Right? Yeah, they do. In good places, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. We don't really know what Microsoft's going to do with them going forward. We know that they were Barnes & Noble's doing the Windows 8 app for Barnes & Noble, the Nook app and the app for the phone. But after that, what else are they doing for Microsoft? That's
Nook
the part we don't know.
They're Android tablets.
I know.
Why do you invest in that?
Yep.
You know?
And
why does
Barnes
Skype
Noble
release
pays...
iOS and Android apps first? I don't know. I mean, I... Yeah.
No, Barnes & Noble pays Microsoft a patent licensing fee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the settlement that led to this amazing partnership, because these guys were careening toward what we were hoping was going to be this court case where we could finally resolve whether these Microsoft patents were valid.
That's right.
Yeah, it never happened.
Now I remember all of that.
It's a crazy web we live.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wouldn't want to be in the book business right now, but this is me. Especially, well, it's twofold. Somebody said, you know, it's probably not Kindle killing this. It's probably just tablets in general.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a Nook app for all of these tablets.
Sure.
Yep.
Surface Pro, go look in your mailbox.
By the way, I have now heard from people who are, in fact, receiving them today.
Woohoo!
So these things were supposed to arrive on March 1st, or I guess by March 1st. I'm not sure how.
Wow, a whole day early.
Tomorrow.
Well, when you're expecting it on Friday and it comes Thursday, that's not usually the way you guess
it's
work.
No, it's a nice feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I have to say, and we were talking before the show, I bought this Acer S7 that... Robert Ballister had reviewed, and he really liked it. I saw him. I played with his a little bit, and then I shouldn't say that about a priest. I played with his a little bit, and then it's so bad. And then I thought,
thank
and
you
I looked,
for doing that on my show.
You're going to hell, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
by association,
just by guilt by association.
Look how Thorat laughed at
and
that.
Then, and then, but I was holding out as I think I told you for the Lenovo Carbon X1 Touch. Because I thought that was going to be, as long as I'm going to hell, I might as well say it, the Jesus tablet or the Jesus Windows 8 notebook. But that isn't.
Leo, you can skip right to the front of the line. The hole is open.
Hello, St. Peter. It's me, Leo. It's just, I should just go straight down, right? I just not even bother. Just go right down. But I played with it, and I was less impressed with the screen. And I have to say, I'm very happy I bought the S7. It's not cheap. It's an expensive Ultrabook. It's, I think, $1,500. But... boy, it's light, it's thin, it's a very nice screen, one of the nicest screens I've ever used, including compared to the Retina on the Mac side.
Oh, but I'm sure that Surface Pro piece of crap that the rest of you bought is fine, too.
I'm sure it is. I'm just saying, now that you're getting it, maybe you... I'm glad I didn't know. You know what? I was going to get a Pro, and I'm glad I didn't. I think I like this better. I guess it's how you use it, right? If you want a tablet, this is not a tablet, it's a laptop.
So I don't know, Mary Jo, if you noticed this, but in the announcement today about the expanded availability of Surface Pro and RT, they, I think, for the first time to my knowledge, publicly and explicitly stated the goals for these two devices in a way that mirrors what I've always thought privately that they meant, which was Surface RT is a content tablet. Yep. Surface Pro is a laptop. They described it as a laptop. That sometimes is a tablet, you know, which is interesting because it doesn't come with a keyboard.
Right. Yeah. Their positioning of Surfaces has kind of gone all over the map, right? First, they were both tablet PC hybrids. Then the RT was kind of more of a tablet, but also a PC. Then the Pro was a PC, but also a tablet. And now it's like, this is a laptop. This is a tablet. Right. So
if we call it this, will you buy it?
Laptop?
Right.
How about somebody in the chat room says, call it a laptop.
Yeah.
Web boy.
Yeah. Yeah. But today they did say that they're expanding distribution for the Surface Pro beyond the U.S. and Canada starting in late March. And the other countries to get it are going to be Australia, China, France, Germany, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and also Hong Kong.
So it sounds like whatever their supply problems were, they're fixed.
No.
No.
No. That's why this announcement today
was
kind of funny.
Actually, no.
Well, wait a minute then.
No, because the problem is, if you read this carefully, late March is for Surface RT.
Oh.
So Surface RT was made available immediately to a couple of countries and then later on to a few more. And so you kind of read this thing and think, well, Surface, here comes Surface Pro, finally.
No.
Late March is Surface RT.
Oh.
Isn't Surface Pro is going to be available in additional countries. I believe the ones that Joe just read in the coming months.
They both
like October.
You know, this press release.
October's
is
in the coming months.
No, it says at the top of the press release, both of them starting in late March. So, but then it's like unclear when you read the rest of the press release they put out. Do you mean both of them are late March or later?
I don't know. It doesn't seem so. I don't know. I should go look at it again.
I am, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm of the opinion that RT is
doomed.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong.
You like RT. That's the tablet, the ARM-based version of Windows. And I think in the long-term strategy, ARM is maybe the future for Microsoft. But right now, RT, nobody's making RT tablets, right, except Microsoft.
No, there are a couple.
In fact, I had a theory, I think it was Asus dropped the price on that VivoTab pretty dramatically. And I thought, maybe this is it. But if I'm not mistaken, somebody just announced an RT tablet for this year. Possibly Acer, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. We thought maybe Nokia would announce one at the Mobile World Congress.
Right.
But that didn't happen.
Yep.
Listen to the way this sentence is worded. I won't read all the country names. I'll just kind of cut to the chase. Beginning late March, the rollout of Surface will continue, bringing Surface RT with Windows RT, which is an awfully contorted name, to this list of countries, and Surface Pro with Windows 8 Pro to this list of countries in the coming months. Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's, you
They're
know, it
soon.
Sounds like. Yeah,
coming soon when we figure out our supply chain problems. Then we'll have more.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think the supply chain issues have been solved.
No. A lot of people still are like running. They hear there's like a load of Surface Pro 128 gigs show up to a store. They sell out in like 5 minutes and then people go home and they're mad.
Sounds like a joke. A Surface Pro walks into a store.
Right.
Yeah.
The joke is that you walked into a store to get a Surface Pro and you couldn't.
Yeah.
The joke's on you.
But we have a fine RT. Would you like a Surface RT? It's a lovely...
Right. The sad part is they actually have a product that people want, but they can't meet the demand, right? That's the sad part.
Well, and that's in a way why I feel like RT doesn't have a good future. It's clear what people want. They want Windows 8.
There's plenty of Surface RT, Leo. That's all I'm saying.
you want one? You can have one now.
But you know what?
Someone,
we don't know
someone is gonna
how
build
many
a...
did they make. How many did they make?
Yeah. Surface Pros, you mean?
Surface RT.
RT.
Right.
Right.
Well, all you'd have to do is count all the ones that are sitting in stores. It's pretty much that number.
Do you think that what happened is that they overestimated demand for RT and underestimated demand for Windows Pro? That's what happened?
Yep. That's my guess.
I do feel like Surface RT could be a decent device, I don't know.
He's trying, kids.
I think the Surface RT is a really good device for people who really need the battery life, like me, more than you need
battery life
the
is
power.
Killer, yeah. And by the way, it's much thinner and lighter than the Surface Pro.
It is.
Which is kind of amazing when you go back and forth between them. Yeah. It really is a big difference.
Yeah. So I love my Surface RT still.
I would not
trade it for the Pro.
Do you take it? Do you take a walk? I'm just trying to imagine in Central Park.
I do.
In the spring and the birds.
I throw it in my purse.
And you go down, you sit on a bench.
Like holds it out and twirls in a circle.
Yeah, you bring some.
Then I do some dances with it.
Well, I'm just thinking, you bring some breadcrumbs. you sit on this, you have a breadcrumbs on the left, the tablet in your lap. You throw the pigeon some things and then you write your column. I'm imagining that. Maybe with a big floppy hat. Is that you?
Yep. That's me.
I thought I saw you there.
Hmm.
So
I take it with me to rattle and hum.
Yeah. Have a beer or two.
Research and use it in the bar.
It's a purse pewter.
It's a giant coaster.
Giancarlo and I chat rooms figured it out. It's a purse pewter.
It is.
It is. It's a good size and thickness and weight. You know, it really is. I wish they could make a Surface Pro of the same dimensions. It would be fairly amazing. Obviously, with the same battery life, would, you know, kind of put it over the top too. But
yeah, I really, like I've said before on the show, I really thought I would spend all my time on the Surface RT and the desktop. I almost never use the desktop. I only use the Metro side because the kinds of apps I want are things that are available in Metro, right, like Notepad. Here we go again, Notepad.
Incredible.
And I it meets the needs that I have. I do a lot of web browsing on it. I use it just like I used to use my iPad. It's perfect for that.
I stand corrected. And I see a lot of people in the chat room are saying, oh, no, we love our, I'm very happy with my Surface.
I wish there was a Metro version of Chrome like that you could install in RT. Yeah. I wish there was, you know,
I hate to say this. This hurts me physically. But I actually like Internet Explorer on 8.
Said
it.
All right.
No, I use IE all day long, but I also use Chrome a lot. And
my problem is I've got Chrome synced like crazy, so all my passwords are in there from all my other computers. All my, you know.
Yeah.
So I wish the sync somehow propagated, but
it's not very elegant to switch. You know, on the desktop you could have two browser windows open. They could both be IE, right?
Yeah.
So maybe one of them has a website you're looking at. The other one has a form or an office web apps page that you're writing in or something, and it's very easy to go back and forth. You know, in the Metro version of IE, it's all in the same app, so you can switch between the tabs, but it's a lot more ponderous, you know, than
I've
going.
I've kind of gotten used to that gesture where you pull down the tabs from the top and you look at the sites that you've.
But it's such an extra, you know, if you had a browser and say Notepad open like Mary Jo might, you could flick and go between those two things. It would be very natural. If those things were in different tabs in the browser, that's a lot of additional swipes.
It is.
To get.
That's why, by the way, I really think it's important to have touch even on a, you know, a computer, because this is a difficult procedure with a mouse and not very gainly, but with very, I don't know.
You could do it with the keyboard too, by the way.
Can you?
Yes.
It seems so natural. It's a visceral experience. There's what I want to see, you know? Yeah. And you get a thumbnail of them, and I don't know.
Sure.
Back. Oh, okay, now, wait a minute. Now, okay, so I swipe. Oh, I love that.
They're going to have you do a commercial.
I'm a freaking
for this,
idiot, you know? I know.
Like flying tiger, whatever.
You know, it's a dance move. You know, what is interesting is the chat room has been chanting for the last half hour, blue, 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 blue.
Not Hadoop?
Not Hadoop. They want to know about blue.
Well, if only someone here knew anything about it.
Does anybody have any blue news? Any blue clues?
Yep, we have some new blue clues this week.
Yay!
Yep.
Chat room is
happy. And so the new blue clues are not about Windows blue this week. They're about Windows Phone blue.
Okay.
And people will remember, there's a whole bunch of different things that are going to have the blue release. There's Windows Server, Windows Client, the services like SkyDrive and Outlook.com. So there's lots of things that are going to be blue. Windows Phone Blue is the next major release of Windows Phone after Windows Phone 8, which we know. But the new clue this week is there are a bunch of things between now and then that are not, they're not blue. They're more minor updates. And the first of these we already have had, that was codenamed Portico. That was the first update to Windows Phone 8. We learned this week, thanks to a leak about the next HTC Windows Phone handset, that it's going to be running something called GDR2. And everybody was like, wow, what is that? So I found out that GDR2 means General Release Distribution 2, and Portico was GDR1. So it means there's another minor phone update coming sometime this summer. That will supposedly be on this HTC phone, which is codenamed Tiara. So GDRs are these little interim updates to Windows Phone that you're going to see a number of. In fact, I think you're going to see three before we see Windows Phone Blue. So that was our new blue clue.
That was not the blue news that they were hoping for, I could tell
no.
you.
No, we don't have a ship date on Windows Phone Blue, sad to say.
Or Windows 8 Blue.
Or Windows 8 Blue. Although Windows 8 Blue, we've known that's rumored to be just about, well, they're into the Milestone 2 development work on that supposedly now, and that it could be actually available to us users, people who have Windows 8, Windows RT devices as of August, if they stick to their schedule this August.
So that one of the things that strikes me as I use Windows 8, it reminds me a little of Vista in that it's a big departure, but it could use some polish.
Yes.
We're always looking for those Vista comparisons. So
it's not Vista. No, it's better than Vista. But I mean, it feels like there's a few things that we have learned after using it for a while that maybe Microsoft might want to polish.
Yes. Might want to maybe ask about before they actually shipped it.
Just rub off some of the rough edges. Use a little emery cloth and just buff it up. So that's, but is that what Blue will do?
So Blue is supposed to be two things. Well, really like three things. So it's going to be enhancements or refinements to the user interface. And from what I've heard, that doesn't mean like they're going to bring back the start button. They're not going to make any radical changes.
They shouldn't do that. No.
No, they shouldn't. And more like just fix some things in the UI that people have found a little troublesome. I'm not exactly sure what there, but that's one thing. There's going to be changes to the kernel of the operating system and changes to the API so that Windows Blue and Windows Phone Blue are much more, they have more in common as far as being the common app platform, common developer platform. So the big picture is, and the hope is, if you're an app developer, you're going to be able to make one app or make an app that has almost all common code, and it's very simple to have a version for Windows 8 and Windows 8 Blue and Windows Phone Blue.
That like, will be huge. I think that's huge.
That's gigantic.
From the point of view of developers and users.
Right. It's huge if they could pull that off.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, Blue is that. It's like a few UI changes, some kernel changes, and then changes to the app platform as well. So it's not a service pack. I mean, there'll be some, you know, new enhancements and things like that, fixes, updates, that kind of thing. But it's more like a feature pack than it is a service pack. Okay. It's the best way to think about it, I think, is it is Microsoft's mountain lion. That's what it is.
It's Microsoft's mountain lion.
Just right? It's like a new version of the operating system, but it's not like this giant thing. No, it's probably going to be very cheap.
In fact, that's what Apple's been doing every other release. Is
I think that's what Microsoft's going to start
Snow Leopard, Lion, Mountain Lion, which is just... This sounds like it's more under the hood than over the top.
Yeah.
Not UI polishing, particularly. Yeah.
One person told me, I forget who told me this. Somebody said there'll be like 100 new features, but what counts as a new feature? Yeah, right?
Apple always says that too.
Right.
Yeah, hundreds of new features. Yeah, all right. But you shouldn't look at it as something that's going to break your apps. That's what I hear. Like backwards compatibility is a very high priority. It's not going to be something that, you know, oh, wow, nothing works anymore, of course. They're not going to do that. No. I'm not even going to do that on the phone. This is just more of a thing to bring the platforms into alignment, make some tweaks to the UI, and make things look and work even more commonly across the platforms.
Got it.
I'm surprised by the kernel version bump. That's usually a trigger for application compatibility issues. But I guess when you think about most of the stuff occurring on the Metro end, that is less of a concern.
Yeah, the way that was described to me was the reason the kernel is going to be bumped up in number is more to signify to the apps that you're using a new kernel than it is to signify like this is a major breaking change.
Gary in the UK says we should call it Jamaican Blue. Jamaican Blue Mountain.
We can't call it California Blue. HTC already owns that one.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh.
That's the color of the HTC Windows Phone 8. That's one of their colors.
California blue.
The rest of us call that color purple.
I know. It's kind of a bluish purple.
Yeah.
It's a good color.
I said that there was no tablet from Nokia at Mobile World Congress, but did they announce? Mm-hmm. But I think they announced some new Windows 8, low cost Windows 8 phones, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 720 and the 520.
Yeah, it's not clear. I think at the 520 we know is coming to T-Mobile. This, I think. I could be reversing this, but. The other one I don't think is coming to the United States, but it's kind of a a broadening of the lineup that they have of Lumia devices. And I think the thing I got out of this is that they're kind of coming into their own design-wise with these Lumias. You know, that the first Lumias were all about that unibody design where it was like a single shot of color, typically cyan, you know. And the first three devices, the first three kind of flagship devices, the 800, the 900, now the 920, were all of that type. But it's interesting to me that there are other devices, which like the 720 and the 520, which were just announced, the 820 and the 820 derivatives and the 620, which is a very low-end kind of a phone. They all have these shells that you can pop off on the back. Some of them are actually unibody designs regardless, but they have these shells. And the shells allow you to do a couple of different things. You know, you can change the colors of the devices, which I actually think is pretty huge. You can add capabilities because they have wireless charging capabilities built into some of the shells too. And I actually think that Nokia is really starting to differentiate itself in a way that makes sense. And I'm hoping that they have a new flagship phone this year that utilizes some of this type of design, because I really think that this kind of thing, the way that these phones look, is very attractive, and it looks nice with Windows Phone as well, you know, with the OS.
Are they smaller screens? Are they still roughly the same size? Or
they run the gamut. I'm not sure off the top of my head how big. I want to say they're in the 4-point whatever range, you know, the two devices that were just announced.
So they got a 720, which is kind of mid-range.
Mid-range,
the 520, which is not going to be in the – it's probably for developing nations, the cheapest
one. Their cheapest one, yep.
And then the 420 will be the one made of organic materials. No, I'm sorry. That was a dream.
It's a hemp phone.
That was a dream.
The hemp phone running Linux.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't the one coming to the U.S. the 521 on T-Mobile?
Oh, so is that what it's called? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 521.
Okay.
And, I mean, they look very much like they have, you know, there's a Lumia look, and they very much
have a familial look. Kind of look to them, which I really like.
I do. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's what especially Mary Jo, right? You carry a 920, or did you get the HTC?
No, I got the HTC.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yep. But people who saw the 710 this week said it's much thinner than a typical Lumia.
Still has
which is
the
good.
Still has the NFC. Does it have the charger, the Qi charger thing? I don't know.
Wireless charger.
Yeah, so the 7 it does.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
You can get that in the back. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, most of these do. Have that capability. Not built in, but you can get the backs that have that built in.
And they have gloss white or matte red, yellow, cyan, and black. But you said you could change the shell.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat.
Yeah, so aside from the 920 now, all of their Windows Phone 8 devices have the ability to have micro SD expansion, for example. Except for the 920 and possibly the 720. That one I'm not sure of. You can replace the battery yourself. So if you're on a trip
that
or something, you bring an extra battery.
God, I wish every phone
had that. It's just and it's amazing because the 720, despite the fact that the shell comes off, is actually thinner than the 820, which was the, you know, midline phone they released last fall.
Yeah, that was always the story was, well, we have to make the battery locked in because we have to make it thin and small and light and blah, blah.
But they never made them thin and small. Right, like that. Right. The 920 is humongous, you know, and it's really thick. So these other phones, although the 720 is a unibody design, all these new phones are thinner and lighter and smaller, and they're all, I don't know about the 720. Well, the 720 has micro SD expansion. They all have micro SD expansion. So I think this is, you know, them kind of finding their stride finally.
The 520 is 4-inch. And for some reason in the Nokia blog, they say it's made in Beijing. Like that's a big deal. Sounds like this is their China phone, right?
Yeah. This is the one. You can buy this phone off contract, right? Very cheaply.
Yeah.
I want to say it's under $200, $182, something like that.
They're calling it their global product.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it looks very much like a regular Lumia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have all these wireless charging devices. You know, they have the pad and the pillow and the stand-up pad and all that stuff.
I love that. And they've added more. Yeah. They've added more. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a version coming for the car.
Yeah.
You know, once you
look at that. The way to do it. You just pop that
wireless
in.
Charging. It's like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny because I used to joke like how hard, you know, Apple introduced their Lightning connector. And it's like, well, how hard is it to plug in a mini USB cable? How hard is it to plug in no cable?
Yeah, you know, when you're driving, it's hard. And this would, you pop this in the clip. you know, the dashboard clip, and it just starts charging. It's and when you're done. Using Maps, when you're using it for Nav, you want that. That's great.
Right.
I like that.
Yep, I do too.
It's a nice feature. Let's see. Also, speaking of Maps, they're now called Here. Here, Map. Here, Mappy. They've got.
I understand why they use the name, and I'm not sure I'm on board with it. But
well, it's because I'm not really the. I don't use the map to be here. I use the map to go there. Why don't they call it there? Here Drive, Here That's Transit. Good.
Well,
and
because
here map.
Their location apps is how they describe them, and right. You know, your location is right. Here.
And looks like Mary Jo wrote the new WinPhone team rallying cry is shut up and ship.
Yeah, this is actually pretty funny because this addresses a complaint that a lot of people have had about Windows Phone over the past couple of years. It feels like they always pre-announce things so far in advance that by the time they ship them, no one cares anymore. Like, I mean, we knew about Windows Phone 8 and the whole set of features and functionality pretty much like about maybe 4 to 5 months before that phone and before the first phones even shipped. So they're saying now that they're not going to be doing that going forward and that they're not going to talk about all the things coming in advance. And instead, they're just going to shut up and ship. So I
said... Kind of like Sony with the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they'll have a launch and something will be under a little like handkerchief. And like, we're not showing this.
Yeah.
But
good.
I
think that's
hope...
a good way to do it, really.
I know, right?
That's Apple's way, right?
I'm not against them.
Let's give them credit after they actually do it.
I know, right.
You know, saying shut up and ship it is just saying something else. I mean,
that's just another thing to say.
Yeah.
I want them to do this, actually, because I think it'll build more, like, you know, momentum behind the platform. But they have to not just shut up. They also have to ship, right? So...
The only time you can't do that or you may not want to do that is if it's a brand new device, which you have to get FCC approval on. And so that takes a while. So you may not. That's why the first iPhone was announced maybe 6 months before it came out. Mm-hmm. But now, at this point now, Apple usually says and available in 3 weeks. And that's the kind of thing you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I agree because, you know, I think what happens, for instance, I'm all excited about the HTC One, this new Android thing.
Yeah.
And that I don't, you know, they announced it, but same thing with the Galaxy S4.
Can you buy those again? I can't remember.
You can't. And so, how long before my fizziness wears off, and then I go, whatever.
Yep.
Much better if you could say, and it's available Friday. Because I would own one now if they had said that.
Yeah.
It's March 15th, I think. So that's not. It's only 2 weeks. I shouldn't be bitching, but.
Sure.
Spoiled. I'm a brat. And speaking of IE, finally IE 10 can be run on Windows 7. Yep. Worth it? Should you upgrade?
Well, first I'd have to downgrade to Windows 7.
I'm still running Windows 7.
Some people run it. I just found my Windows 7 installer USB key. So just, you know, watch out. Yeah. You should upgrade. You should always get the latest version of the browser, right?
They're going to push you to the latest version if you don't.
Are they saying it? They're saying like, it's here, get it?
Yeah. They're saying you can download it now, that they're going to start pushing it through Windows Update.
It's not really that different from IE9, actually.
No. Not really. And the part that makes me happy is the URL bar is still on top.
Yeah, that's the Metro. I'm not crazy about that.
I know. Isn't that weird?
It's just a bad idea.
Does anyone know, anybody in the chat room, anybody know why the URL bar is at the bottom?
Wait, what do
why?
You mean by that?
I'm curious.
We're talking about the Metro version
of
IE.
Oh, in Metro.
Yeah.
Right.
It should be the same place it is on the non-Metro, right? I mean,
the typical place for an app bar in a Windows 8 app, if you're only having one, is on the bottom. But honestly, I bet it's because if you think about holding that as a tablet, you would be able to tap that without moving your hands off the side.
Yeah, that's where you want to tap. Also, you're using this real estate up above for these thumbnails.
Yeah.
But that could slide it down. The other thing I wish is that... Oh, it did. It does go away, right? It's only
when
you tap it. Yeah.
The app bar is on the bottom because your thumbs are there.
That's where it is.
So any app bar in any Metro app, the buttons are always going to be congregated in the bottom left and the bottom right.
Yeah.
And so in this case, you could use your left thumb to tap in the bar.
Yeah, that makes
easily,
sense.
Easily, right, to select right. something. It's a tablet to select it, I should say.
It's a tablet thing.
Yeah.
But that just shows you the tabletification of Windows 8.
It does.
It's a tablet thing.
Oh, yeah. What else should we say? IE10 on Windows 7, they're saying it loads popular sites 20% faster than IE9 on Windows 7.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yep.
That's but probably the JavaScript's been updated number. Or something like that. Just
yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. What else do they say? They say they're adhering to some percentage more of standards so that it's
4% more standards compliant.
It's yeah. chock six, full of standards like compliance, Leo.
Yeah, it's
it
like
is a daily saving or a daily, what do you call it?
The
daily
actual
allowance.
Number is 60%.
Yeah, I think
yeah it's 60. Like, yeah, 60% of your required daily compliance.
It's as good as a bowl of cereal and milk.
Yeah. So that's why you should upgrade.
Well, it's less jarring than going from previous versions of IE to newer versions this time, right? Yeah. IE 9 to 10 is very simple. The UIs are basically the same. That they did on purpose, which I think is cool. They were saying that people wanted them just to make the browser better and not worry about the UI, and that's what they did. So, cool, I guess.
Somebody in the chat room saying DirectX is updated with it. Is that right? No. Oh, it doesn't use DirectX.
That's well, it uses hardware acceleration, but it's...
Maybe that's what they mean.
I don't know. I'm not sure what that means.
Let's take a break. When we come back, tips of the week, software pick of the week, beer of the week, and all that jazz.
Windows 8 Ultrabook of the week.
Ultrabook of the week. Yeah, I'm telling you. Ooh, it just flies away. It's so light. It's angelic.
We should do a laptop pick of the week. Paul?
Jeez, okay. Well... I mean, I don't know. Sometimes
What do you like these days? I've told you I like this S7. And by the way, I bought it. This is not a review unit. This is not, in anybody's pocket. This is, I looked at them
honestly,
all and I thought very carefully. And this is the one I bought with my money.
Spending my own money, that one looks very similar to the Samsung devices, which I like a lot.
They're very thin too, yeah.
And I prefer the Lenovo keyboards, you know. But for myself,
this is not the greatest keyboard. If keyboarding is important to you, this is the S7 is less good.
Yeah, but you know, learn to live with it. Like I use the Samsung; it's very similar to that. And obviously, I spend a lot of time typing, but it's fine. It's fine.
Right. All right, let's talk about my phone system. You want to talk about that a little bit for a while? Come on. Because, you know, we always are talking about stuff in the cloud and, you know, the SkyDrive and all of that stuff. Did you know you can get a phone system in the cloud? That's what we did with Ring Central. We are so happy with our Ring Central phone system. And, truthfully, all phone systems should be this way. If you're not a small business owner, as I am now, boy, that was a pain in the butt. You probably don't know that, you know, when you have an office, we got, 25, 30 people in the office, you need to have a phone system. And that usually means you got a PBX, a big thing. I mean, these things are like small refrigerators in your basement. And you got to program it. You got to mess with it, blah, blah, blah. This eliminates that. It's kind of like hosted, like a hosted share file or hosted exchange. This is Ring Central hosts it all. There's no PBX, but you've got all the features of a PBX, including... some really sweet stuff. In fact, stuff that you can't get from the phone company. Like, they have apps for Android and iOS that let you make Ring Central calls from the app. So when you're using your smartphone at home, it looks like you're calling from the office, and it's billed to the office. They also incoming faxes to your inbox, incoming voicemail to your inbox, your mailbox. I really like the business, what they call business SMS. Which this is new. Business SMS means you send text messages and it appears to be coming from your business number, and incoming text messages to your business number come to your phone. So we have an 800 number for Twit, and we can now text from it to both colleagues and to clients. And the best part is it starts at $20 per month per user. You could try it now with a risk-free 30-day trial. There are no startup costs, no hardware to install or maintain, and when you buy a desk phone from RingCentral, you'll get a second phone free, up to a total of 20 phones. So try this free for 30 days. There's a special number just for our listeners, 800-543-9980, 800-543-9980, or go to ringcentral.com. You can learn more there, and then use the promo code TWIT, and you can try it free for 30 days. It could not be simpler to add a user, to configure your phone tree, all of that stuff at ringcentral.com. Use the offer code TWIT or call 800-543-9980. It really is sweet. And if you have a multi-location business, this is a must. One system for all of them. They've got conferencing. They've got SMS. Ringcentral.com. We're very happy. What are you laughing at?
I'm trying not to cry. I have hurt myself physically in so many ways in the past 24 hours. I'm trying not to move because I just like hurt
playing,
every time.
What are you playing basketball again, Paul?
Yeah, I got elbowed in the face. That. I got like a kidney shot to the back of my ribs, and my calf keeps tightening up.
You're not Larry Bird, Paul.
I am Larry Bird, like in 1992, 93.
The later years.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, the later years. I think there's a certain time when you just have to give that stuff up. Golf.
That time is about 2 weeks ago.
Bowling. So,
yeah.
Curling. Anything.
Curling.
Curling.
Nice.
Checkers.
Checkers is very popular with the older set. Do you have a porch, Paul?
Yeah. A hammock.
A hammock sounds really good. Our tip of the week, Mr. Paul Thurrott.
So we mentioned this earlier, but Nokia updated all of its location apps and made three of them available to all users of Windows Phone 8. So I think there are five of them in total. They've been rebranded with that Here brand. But Nokia Maps, which is their version of the Maps app that's built into Windows Phone. Here Drive Beta, which is their navigation app, which is fantastic. And Here Transit, which is another unbelievable app for, getting you from where you are to somewhere else using whatever public transportation is available in the area. And so it actually plots out these routes on a graph.
Shouldn't it just all
where
be
part
one
of it
app?
Might be walk to the train, take this train, switch to this train, walk to the destination. It gives you the...
Oh, that's nice. Like at a table.
The time it's going to take based on the time that you leave.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's all based on the schedules of the various public transportation options that you have in your area. And so in a place like Boston or New York City, where we have a lot of that stuff, it's pretty amazing. So if you have a Windows Phone 8 device, Nokia or otherwise, be sure to grab all of these apps, whichever ones are available.
There's three of them. You. And you don't have
to have sort of a sub.
You don't have to have a Nokia phone to use it.
Not those three.
And they're free?
They're all free, yep.
That's pretty good.
I think what they're going to do in the future is that there's something called Drive Plus, which is available only on Nokia devices, and that one adds international routes. And based on their blog post, I believe they're going to make that one available for sale to people who don't have Nokia devices. So in the future, you'll be able to upgrade to an international version of it.
And so it's like Google Maps. The maps are downloaded as you go. There's no storage maps.
No, you can download the maps and use them offline.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
that's
really, really,
really good for free.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy.
And these are the maps Bing uses. These Nokia bought, I can never
Navtec.
Remember. Navtec. So these are really good maps. These are every
They're
bit
really
as good,
good
as Google or anything else. Oh, look, they
this
have
thing, by the way, that you're looking at
too.
On the screen is City Lens. If you have a Nokia device, you have to try this thing. This is one of those augmented reality apps. Where you move the camera, you look through the camera and it shows you on overlays all of the businesses and restaurants and so forth that are in the area.
This is where
amazing
I grew
stuff.
Up. They're showing Santa Cruz. That's pretty funny. The video on the Nokia blog site, conversations.nokia.com, is of Santa Cruz. Cool.
Kind of a tip, kind of a pick. I don't know.
Here. You do have a software pick, though.
Yeah, I have two software picks. These are kind of quick. A lot of everything here today is Windows Phone 8 related, I guess. Two big updates for Windows Phone 8 this week. One is the Microsoft Sync app for Windows Phone 8, meaning the Metro-style app, right? So this is the one that will work on Windows RT and Windows 8. If you know and use Windows Phone 8, you may know that there are two Sync apps. There's a desktop version and the Metro version. They're not identical. They don't have exactly the same feature sets. A little confusing. So the Metro app with this update gains a couple of the features you could get in the desktop app before, and then one new feature that is unique to it. So You can now sync playlists and ringtones through the app, which you couldn't do before. You used to have to use the desktop version. It does video previews of these are videos you've taken on your phone with the camera that are on the device. You can look at them before you download them and pick the ones you want. And it also integrates with the share charm in Windows 8. So you can share things to and from the phone with compatible apps without having to download things off the phone. So you can do it directly to or from the phone. So that's pretty cool. So that's a big one. So if you're using, you know, if you have to sync stuff to the desktop for whatever reason, obviously you want the latest version. That one just came out, so you should grab that. The other one is Twitter 2.0, they're calling it, although if you look at the app, it says 3.0, so I'm not sure what to think about that. But, you know, the second major release of Twitter. I think actually the second release of Twitter ever. The first version came out when Windows Phone first shipped back in 2010. So this one has been rewritten for Windows Phone 8, and so it supports all the resolutions. It has some of the new live tile capabilities, which is pretty cool. But the big thing is that it just has a visual refresh. The old version had kind of a weird white and light blue kind of UI, and this one is not just darker. It's completely redesigned to be different. And you know how Twitter sort of changed the way that they describe things, you know, so we used to have like mentions, but now it's like conversations, or I forget the term they use. They've kind of changed the way that they identify the different ways you interact with people. So it conforms to the new Twitter way of doing things. And so if you use Twitter and use Windows Phone, and there's a version of this for Windows Phone 7X as well, you need to get this app. This is a very, very nice and very, very overdue update for this app. And a big change, also free, obviously. So great. Be sure to get that one, too.
What do you recommend? I should have paid attention. Is it Twitro or Metro that you recommend on the Windows 8?
So I use Metro Twit, the desktop version, not
that's
the
free,
Metro
which
app.
Is nice. Oh, the desktop
Mary Jo
version.
Is making a grimacing face. So I suspect she uses something else.
No, I love Metro Twit, and I'm just sad about the state of their Metro-style version.
Yeah, it's no good. Yeah. No.
So use the desktop app instead.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. Is that what you use?
I've been using the web version of TweetDeck.
That's not
the web
bad.
Version. Okay.
And Twitter owns
is that working IE now? Is that like IE based or Chrome?
Yeah. No, I think because you're using the web version, you can use it in any browser. It's not I'm not using the app, I'm just using the browser. We're in a very sad place on Metro style versions of Twitter clients for Windows 8 and Windows RT. We're waiting for Twitter to do theirs, and they still haven't. A lot of people like Twitro on Windows 8 and Windows RT. I don't love that interface. I don't know why. I just don't.
I try to go back and forth, and I try to try things, but I don't know. I just don't like the UIs of a lot of these things.
Me too.
I don't really like the Metro Twit. I tried to use the Metro version for a while. It's, you know, I like Metro Twit on the desktop when it works, but I think there's some issues with Twitter. I think there's some Twitter API foolishness going on that's causing a lot of these apps not to work all the time. So we are in a tough spot, I would say, all around.
Well, I'm downloading Metro Twit for the desktop right now.
Yeah. So that's a great app.
Try it.
Yeah. It's very confusing to have this Metro versus desktop.
Yes, it is.
Just saying.
We agree. Yep.
I'm just saying.
We are on your side.
I think it's your turn for your enterprise pick of the week. But wait, you've picked this before.
I've picked this before, but I'll tell you why I'm picking it again.
Okay.
Okay. I'm picking this week Yammer, which is the enterprise social networking company that Microsoft bought last year for $1.2 billion. And the reason I'm picking it this week is we're finally starting to see real integration between Yammer and some of Microsoft's enterprise products. Mm. So tomorrow, March 1st, Microsoft's adding all these new Yammer and SharePoint integrations to the price list. So if you buy Yammer Basic Standalone from Microsoft starting tomorrow, it's free. So I shouldn't even say buy. You get it free. So the basic standalone free, enterprise standalone, $3 per user per month. SharePoint with Yammer, you have all these different options based on which plan you go with, plan one, plan two, three, four. But you can add in Yammer enterprise support for a set fee per user per month. So finally, we're starting to see what they're doing with this technology that they paid $1 billion for. The other place that Yammer integration showed up this week is between Yammer and Dynamics CRM Online. So if you're a Dynamics CRM Online customer, you can go download a product update that Microsoft made available this week as an optional upgrade. And if you download that update, you get both the Yammer integration with your Dynamics CRM Online, and you also get iPad support for Dynamics CRM Online. And they're together. They're bundled together in this one update for some reason. So it, I thought it was a good time to bring Yammer back as the enterprise pick because there's stuff actually happening now with them.
Cool. Yammer is back, baby.
Yammer's
by the way,
back.
Mary Jo, I just forwarded you an email. There was a Yammer announcement today. I don't know if this is...
Yeah, I got it. A translation thing. Yeah. Should I bring it up?
No, it's in Estonian.
All right. Just let it
I got it.
Yammer. In any language of the rainbow.
Exactly. They're doing some things around language translation in Yammer also that we're hearing a little bit about now, too.
Your code name pick of the week.
Yeah. You know I have to bring Hadoop in here somehow, don't
I?
So this has also has been a pick of the week before, but I'll tell you why I'm bringing this one back as well. Pick of the week is Isotope. Isotope was the code name that Microsoft used for the work it was doing with Hortonworks to bring Hadoop to both Windows Server and to Windows Azure. So Microsoft and Hortonworks have been working on this for 2 years. They've done various test builds of these two things. And then this week, kind of out of the blue, Hortonworks announced another Hadoop version or distribution, I should say, for Windows. It's called the Hortonworks Data Platform, HDP for Windows. And it was a little bit confusing because it's like, wait, aren't you already doing this with Microsoft? Like, why are you having another Hadoop distribution for Windows? And Hortonworks, the guys who have the elephant as their logo.
Because of Horton, here's a who.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They say they're doing it because... You can't have too many Hadoop distributions, and you need, if you're a company who has Linux, Hadoop on Linux and Hadoop, you want to have a Hadoop on Windows and you want to have comparable distributions, they're suggesting you go with their distribution. So I wouldn't say there's any rift between Microsoft and Hortonworks. I don't really get that, but they're doing something that's an alternative to Isotope. So there's yet another version of Hadoop for Windows coming out. And I just wanted to say Hadoop. I admit it.
Hortonworks Hadoop. Even
Hadoop.
Better.
Hadoop. Hadoop, 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 Hadoop.
You know, we tried to get Paul on a twit this week with Andy because there was contretemps.
Yes, there was.
Between Andy Inako, host of MacBreak Weekly, and Mr. Paul Thurrott, host of Windows Weekly, on the Twitter this week.
What happened?
A contretemps.
It was funny.
What does that mean?
a little folderol, a little... Hoity hoy.
I took that to be in good...
It was in good fun. Good fun. Everybody must have known that.
Yes.
Contretemps is an unforeseen event that disrupts the normal course of things, an inopportune occurrence.
Yes.
Yes.
Two black holes sucking at each other.
Hobbledy hoy.
In the darkness of space.
Brouhaha.
Yeah.
Ha-ha. So, Andy, did it start with you or Andy? I can't remember. I think Andy.
Someone someone else said, I don't remember do you have it in front of you? I don't remember.
I will look it up real quickly.
Yeah. I remember the guy said, why is it that Windows Weekly talks about beer and on MacBreak Weekly, they talk about coffee?
Yeah, right. And I said, because the guys who talk about Apple products need something to help them stay awake.
And Andy said, you need to be drunk to enjoy Windows 8.
Right.
But it was all in good fun.
I didn't take it.
However, in honor of all that, we've got a beer pick that involves coffee.
Yes. So I said, let's commemorate the little contretemps. And I picked as the beer pick of the week Harpoon's El Triunfo Coffee Porter. So this is a beer that tastes like coffee.
I want it.
Yeah.
So you should drink that right before you drive home.
Exactly.
Because you're awake and sleepy.
Right. It's like a Red Bull vodka thing going on, right? It's like
beer
and coffee, you know.
I'm going to let these things fight it out in my system.
Does it really taste like coffee?
Yeah, it does. It does taste like coffee.
A lot of beer tastes like coffee.
Really? Yeah. A lot of porters and stouts taste like coffee. And it's because it's not because, well, sometimes they add coffee. And other times it's because of the kinds of malt that they use. There's like a chocolate malt that gives it like a chocolatey coffee-ish undertone. So yeah, Harpoon, the Harpoon Coffee Porter is the beer pick of the week in honor of Andy and Paul.
I do loveth it.
You must wear a hat while drinking it.
Yes.
Preferably a funny hat.
A very nice pick. As opposed to
Did I tell you the Facebook story about that hat? I guess I didn't. I wore that stupid hat last week. Right?
Yeah, that you wore last week. Yeah.
So a friend of mine on Facebook, it's so completely random. She posts this thing on Facebook and she says, I just drove down the street in Dedham and I saw a girl in a neon winter coat wearing a giant sombrero.
Ah, we know who that was.
And I'm like, that was my daughter.
That was my daughter. That's funny. That is very funny. Well, everybody, the time allotted for speaking of Windows has
come to a close.
Come to a close for this week. We do this show on Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific. It'll be 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. Please do watch. Join us in the chat room. Always great to have our chat room joining us, commenting, the kids in the back of the class. As Dirac says, I'm so glad we had this time together. I could just see him tugging his ear. And they're still chanting blue, by the way. but if you can't watch live, you know we make on-demand audio and video available after the fact. You can see Mary Jo's smiling face, Paul Thurrott's grumpy
not
face,
so smiling.
Leo's bafflement at twit.tv/WW or wherever fine podcasts are aggregated. Look, Dr. Rudiak is chanting Hadoop, 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 Hadoop. We will see you, I guess, next Thursday, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. I got the i7 version of the Acer S7 with a 256 gig hard drive, but I think it's still only 4 gigs of RAM, but I think that's fine. Windows 8 seems to do fine with 4 gigs. Right,
yep.
Paul?
I agree.
Yeah. It's very snappy, but mostly I just love the screen. I mean, I have a Retina, MacBook Pro Retina, and I would say this is every bit as nice as beautiful. I like it.
That's a good-looking machine.
Isn't it nice? Should I have... I think this is... It's more expensive than a Surface Pro, but I just...
I would rather have a machine like that than a Surface Pro.
I think so.
Personally. I would.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, Netflix looks so good on it. It's so fun to watch movies on it. And the...
What's the battery life like?
It's about 5 hours. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not... It's the same as Netflix, right? Isn't that the same?
What?
I mean, as a Surface Pro, about 5 hours?
Yeah, on a good day.
Actually, this is a bad example because it's a SD.
Yeah.
Still looks good. Just really happy. Now, you don't close apps, right? So these Metro apps, it's just running, right? There's no reason to close it, right? If I want the memory, it'll just close.
It will close it for you automatically. Video apps typically stop playing when they're not in the front.
Right.
So I think you noticed that thing was pausing as you went.
But I don't there's no exit.
No, you can do that. You can pull it all the way down.
Oh, you can pull it all the way down.
Also do Alt F4.
Then
there
what?
You go. Now keep
what?
Going.
Oops.
Oh, you gotta keep going. That will do it.
Yep. And that exit it? Yep. No kidding. That is awesome.
You know, when I wrote a tip for that, I got a lot of complaints from people who say, oh, this thing is so dumb, you're going to tell people how to turn off apps.
Well, it's not obvious. I didn't know. I've been using it for a week. That's the first time it's not like they gave you a manual.
You don't have to.
But you don't have to. That's the point, right? But it is a little weird that you slide over and you go, oh, that's still running? Oh, I forgot.
Sure.
Okay, now that's the only thing running. All right. And I'm just loving OneNote. This is the Metro OneNote.
Mm-hmm.
But I put Office on here, too, because I'm an Office 365 subscriber. And I took most of the Acer stuff off.
Yeah.
I felt like most of that stuff wasn't, there's like a cloud thing. And this is probably dumb, but I did turn on the administrative icons.
That's just me pretending that I
it's
know
Windows,
what I'm
Leo.
Doing.
You can do this.
You can do it.
You know?
And I put an icon for Skyrim right on there, man. Dofakin. So. Now, and people, do people not normally customize this start menu background? They just leave it with the simple choices. I know there's ways to do it with third-party apps, but like StarDock has...
I spent a lot of time... Not
doing that?
Doing that in the beginning, and now I don't really bother too much.
This isn't bad. It's green. It's pretty. Mary Jo, you really should give... This is... I have to say, I'm still a little... I'm not crazy about menus that do different things. Like, this look always looks the same, but it does different things depending on what's in the context mm-hmm. is. And that
it takes a little while to get used to.
It's a little used to getting.
Actually think that's kind of handy. I think the consistency is a big deal. It's a kind of a muscle memory.
Yeah, you make a point, yeah. I mean, you always search here, whatever you're doing.
Or even, you know, things like printing, right? A lot of people are like, I don't get it. How do I print from a Metro app? But it's always the same.
Right.
It's the same little sequence, you know, you in print? Each app. So
do you print from? I never thought about that.
Yeah. Do it from that devices.
From here.
Charm, yeah.
Devices. This app can't send to other devices right now. And maybe it doesn't print. Or maybe I haven't set up a printer. I probably have to set up a printer.
Second. Mary Jo, can you not see video?
No.
Oh,
I cannot.
Mary Jo. I am so. Is there a reason Mary Jo can't see video?
We like to keep her in the dark.
What is. Poor Mary Jo. Right.
I'm just kind of playing around so much on my Dell, I'm not paying attention.
Did you get a Dell XPS Windows 8 machine?
I have the big Dell, the Dell Optiplex.
The one? Oh, the Optiplex.
23-inch screen. It's like taking up my entire desktop.
That's big for literally. Your apartment, I agree.
It's the biggest thing in my apartment.
Yeah. But I 27 or nothing for me, you know.
Yeah.
23 seems small.
It looks like lighting your whole apartment up.
It is. Okay. I don't have a single light on. It's like my entire apartment's glowing.
You are a little bright now.
Am I?
Yeah. You look like you're staring into the electric hearth.
Maybe I should darken my
No, that's fine. We like it. We like it. And then you can see us now, yes?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Yeah, I thought, Paul, that I wasn't being fair to Windows 8. Somebody called me on the radio show and asked me, they said, on Metro Skype, how do I accept or not accept people who want to be my Skype contact? And I said, I'm a bad man. I don't know. I have no idea. So, and then I dropped my Surface RT and it cracked and broke. And
now, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Wait, you actually broke a Surface?
That's really? Hard to break.
No, it wasn't hard to break.
Wow.
It's unusual. I mean, I don't.
I
think
tripped
I've
over.
Ever
the,
heard
you know, it's the wire, the magnet. It doesn't pop off very easily. So I tripped over the wire. The thing fell not very far, 2 or 3 feet onto tile, and it just you know, it's one of those things where it hit wrong. It didn't look like it really broke. There was a hair. I didn't even notice at first, but there was a hairline crack on the screen, and then all touch. I couldn't do charms anymore. All the touch on the right was gone, and now I can't turn it on. It like got worse. It just decided.
Just bring it back.
Yeah, I should just say, hey, you know, this is defective. I just bought it.
It has an allergy to tile.
Yeah, it bounced poorly. It's not my fault. I wonder, would they fix it, you think?
Do you have a warranty on
it? This is so new, and I would, yeah, I'd see. I'd definitely check.
But when that happened...
Did you buy that extra plan for it by chance?
I didn't, no.
No.
So when that happened, I did on this thing. When that happened and then the woman called, I said, I have to have a Windows 8 machine. So I've retired. You know, I used to use a MacBook Air for all the shows. That is now being retired. It's going to go to a small child.
And
It's going to be a donation to a mentee. And
give it to someone in a penal colony.
Penal colony, yes. Somebody who can live with an 11-inch screen. And then this is going to be my new show thing. But there is
amazing.
There are some advantages to it. Because I can pinch and zoom now very easily into a web page while we're showing it. So that gives me
By the way, one little tip you should remember forward is, well, this is for Skype.
Oh.
The Metro version of Skype doesn't do HD widescreen.
Right. What I told her, and it turned out to be, I think the right thing is you should download the desktop version of Skype as well.
Right, but I mean, I just mean for you. So when you're doing these shows, make sure that the people calling it are using the desktop version.
That's interesting. So the Metro version is narrow. Mm-hmm. Huh. You're using...
For now. I mean, eventually, they'll pick it up. But
yeah, in fact, Lou M. Emmett, who works at Microsoft, as you know, is telling us that because the merger with Link is, what, in June? That...
Feature merge. The audio part is.
Something's merging. He's working with the Link team to get us a special Twit version of Link, so we may just start using Link.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know you'd be happy about that.
Link is excellent. I would love that.
Do you think it's better quality than Skype? It'd be just the same, probably, right?
It's going to be the same on the back end because it's the same service.
Right.
But the Link client is just so less cluttered. You know, the problem with Skype is that they've been building on it. You know, so
crap in there.
One of the reasons I like the Metro client is it's brand new, built from the ground up.
Right.
You know, Messenger was the same problem. You know, it's like crap. They just keep adding stuff to it. And it's really hard to fight through all the stuff they've added to get to what you want. You know,
I have another question as long as... sometimes when like I click a link I'm in a Metro app, but it's supposed to open a browser, it will open the desktop version of IE. Is that just an error in that app?
Say that again. You're in a Metro app?
I'm in a Metro app, but it opens the desktop IE. They are separate, are they not?
Yep. It should open the Metro version of IE, but I wonder if it is a setting.
Right. It's probably something like that. I don't worry about it. I'm just...
Okay, so no, here, do this. Open the desktop version of IE.
Okay.
And click on the, gear icon.
Tools. Oh. You know, this looks so much like Chrome now. They put all the settings over on the right like Chrome did.
Yeah.
Dud. Internet options.
Yep. And then go to the programs tab.
But it's funny because you still get the old internet options.
Yeah, yep. And oddly enough, it's a little different depending
on
where
you
want.
Choose how you open. Let Internet Explorer decide. That's what I want, right?
Yeah, that's what it should say. Okay,
that's the default.
I was wondering if it was on something.
So that could be set. This is really useful. So that could be set Internet Explorer on the desktop, but I'm going to let Internet Explorer decide.
Yeah,
Explorer tiles on the desktop is another checkbox. What does that mean? If I save a website as a tile...
Yeah,
it will open the desktop version.
Determines which browser to use. Yep.
Is the Metro 32 and this is 64, or are they functionally the same? Or
they're both going to be 32.
They're both 32.
Actually, I'm sorry. You know what? That's probably incorrect. The desktop version will almost always be
64.
I'm just talking. In previous versions of IE, it was always 32. I'm not actually sure.
I'm
going to guess that it's actually 64 on Metro if you have a 64-bit operating system,
right?
Because
this is
those Metro apps are tied to the architecture.
Okay. So and Metro prefers 64. It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at it used to say in the about box, and it doesn't now anymore.
Yeah. Medium high security, enable protected mode.
I'm going to look it up.
I presume that's the memory allocation. Medium. No, it is.
It's 64-bit.
Huh. Content. I love touch. The other thing that was a revelation, and I don't know, Mary Jo, you might be interested in this, is that desktop touch is great. That you having the sometimes you want to reach out and touch it. And having that there is fine. It's not confusing. It's not weird. It's, in fact, I think everybody's going to have to do touch screens in all computers from now on.
I just want to make sure what I'm hearing.
I'm hearing
Leo Laporte selling Windows 8 on Mary Jo phone. Is that what I just heard?
No, I'm selling a touchscreen for it.
I hate touch on the laptop because, for me, my hands are on the keyboard and my mouse, and I never touch.
Yeah.
I don't.
This reminds me, there used to be people who had the same reaction to mice.
I know.
I don't want to take my hands off the keyboard, and I want shortcuts for everything because the mouse is taking... But so you've gotten to the point where you don't mind the mouse.
I don't.
But you don't want to touch.
I don't. I love touching the screen on my Surface RT. That seems really natural because it's a tablet.
Right.
But on a laptop, I'm like, why would I ever want to do that? Like, I can do everything without it, and it just seems to add one more thing to do.
It just gives, to me, it's about flexibility. You know, you would never have to use it.
No,
but when you look at this, I mean, this is the other thing. It's very obvious. This is a touch interface. The start screen is a touch interface. Mm-hmm. This is not intended to be moused.
No.
So just to be able to say, oh, yeah, the store, I see there's an update. Let me just tap it. And even to now, some of these touch targets are small. Like this update target is very small, but it's pretty accurate, and I can do that. Mm-hmm. So
it's funny. I am really a creature of habit, and I think a lot of other people are too. Because when I have my Surface RT, some days I'm just really frustrated with it. I put a mouse on it, and I'm so happy. Like, yay, a mouse.
You know what's interesting? This comes with a mouse, a Bluetooth mouse, pre-configured to work with it. It's already paired out of the box. I think that's very interesting. So there's really multiple ways to use it, which is a very Windows-y thing to do. On a very, you know, the Mac, it's like, well, you can do it this way or no way. What about, okay, one more question, then we're going to start the show. I appreciate the personalized help. This is the pre-show. Okay. This is the show. What about... So this is 1920 by 1080. It's a very high-res screen. And as you saw, some of, like, when I was doing the update, you know, there's a lot of white space. Is there a way, I don't know, there is in the accessibility to scale it bigger, but there's just on-off, you know, bigger or not bigger.
Yeah, sort of. So go back to the start screen and just look at something like, can you find the news app is a good example, or the travel app, one of those things.
It's in my content
section. Yeah, that red one near the top.
Yeah, Kara, yeah.
So an app like this that's content, like, see how that will scale down to fill the screen. And so,
I have to say, I love the big picture.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
The really store is not a good example of an app like
store that. Doesn't
though,
do that, store doesn't do that, though.
Yeah, it kind of sits.
And I can do this, which is fantastic. And look how ClearType... I mean, just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, is this gorgeous.
You can't make her look any better, though. You're not going to make So,
ClearType. That is so mean. You are a mean man. This is just very natural.
So, you can make
but in the store,
elements
it's not,
bigger,
it's
but it depends on the size of the screen. So, let's go. If do you know how to go to the settings? And then PC settings?
PC settings, yeah. Let me go to the desktop.
See if this is... I have trouble finding
this. Has this switch in accessibility, ease of access. This has this larger, make everything on your screen bigger, which is great, but it's like very... I would like that old way
it's
where you can say,
too big.
What's
like
the DPI? Yeah, this is too big.
Yeah. That's all they offer.
That's it. It's on or off. Yeah, I found that. And this is nice.
One thing I find helpful, though, is like go to the browser.
Okay.
The Metro one. And go to a site like, actually, you might, that might already be Zoom. So
it is,
bring up settings for this.
It is, yeah.
Well, but it might, this is a Zoom setting for IE specifically. And then it's, look at internet options, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
See that blue bar there?
So this you can change.
Yeah. And that's actually really helpful. Like
that's
I find
a nice thing,
especially
to have.
On bigger,
yeah like
on
that.
Higher resolution screens, that's a nice thing
great.
To be able to do.
Turn on flip ahead. That's a waste of bandwidth, but who cares?
yep.
This is nice. I actually haven't seen these. So this is a really good example where you're in Internet. You think you're in Internet Explorer. This is different depending on which Internet Explorer.
That scaling is completely different from the desktop version.
Yeah.
Because it's full screen, and you know it makes sense you'd want to fill
the
screen.
At the same. This is the same. It, for all intents and purposes, looks the same, but now it's different.
Yeah.
So. In fact, that wasn't even the right.
Well, that might is that scaled that way? Normally, maybe this is something TechMeme does.
This is desktop.
Yeah, but so hit Control Zero. I mean, that looks like it is. That's 100%.
That's its size. Yeah.
Is that not maybe? Is that scaled too?
You know, that's weird. I can't get any smaller. I think it filled the page. That's kind of interesting.
Well, I'm wondering if Acer didn't set. Oh no, that's the way. This is actually a bad example because they do this. They actually have pretty big text as it is.
I don't mind. And now I've gone to something else, which is smaller.
So look at that site in the other browser.
Right.
In the Metro browser.
I'm getting good. Look at that. Tapping. See, this is, see, that didn't do it.
But it's not scale. So, but what was the scaling set at?
150.
It, really?
Yeah.
No, that should look different.
Well, it's just it's a tiny type site.
Okay.
You know what? That's interesting. Let me make it really big and then go back to the desktop. Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
it changed it for both. Or did it?
Shouldn't.
Maybe I just had it that way. So let's go back. I'm still, there's some ins and outs I'm learning, and I'm not sure if they're,
Yeah, mine's on 150 on my screen, and my site looks much bigger on the Metro version.
And then Mary Jo, this is the problem, is now I've been using touch. Now I got to start typing. By the way, I don't like that comes up all the time in Metro.
That actually should not come up when you have a keyboard. Right. Maybe it's because you tapped it with your finger because you've enabled it that way. So why don't you close that by tapping outside of it? Or do that, yep. But just tap some. Yeah, there you go. Now type Alt plus D. And what it should do is just select it without bringing up the keyboard.
So you did. Type. So it's because I touched it. Got it. All right. This concludes this portion of Paul Helps Leo.
Windows 8 101.
Windows 8. I have to say, I really do like this system.